In meditation, we have, just to recap, we have concentration and contemplation. And we already have finished counting, following stabilization, and now we are at introspection. And introspection, as we said before, is to internalize your thinking. You introspect within, inside of us. The normal introspection contains the thinking part and the emotional part. Unless you want to go supernormal, which is to get rid of the emotional part, supplement your emotional part into just the thinking part. Every day we are actually contemplating. Every day we're thinking. Our mind is working non-stop, and when our mind is working, you may not notice it, it is working like that. It contains a thinking part and the emotional part. And the emotional part is always in control of the thinking part. And so in order to introspect, we have to know what is wrong and what is right. If your thinking part is involved with irrational thinking, it becomes emotional. So we have to know in introspection, first of all, we have to analyze our mind to say, what are we thinking of? What are we introspecting? You must have some basis of introspection. So we have to have some general concepts and specific concepts of prajna, of introspection. That's the reason why we have to study the Buddhist teaching. We must know some of the general concepts of enlightenment, some specific concepts of enlightenment. Otherwise, your introspection have no basis to rely on. The Buddhist teaching contain numerous concepts about the universe, about existence, but there are some important ones. We would like to bring them out for discussion so that we know when we are introspecting what should we be thinking about. And last time we already have explained the threefold nature of existence. Of course, we have to continue with the general concepts, paticca-samuppada. Some people translated it antecedental concurrence or antecedental dependent concurrence. Antecedental means one happened after another. Logically, one circumstance happened before another circumstance, and that's antecedental. Dependent means the fact that it happens depends on many, many conditions, depend on conditions that are necessary for it to happen. Concurrence is simultaneously is doing that, naturally is doing that without you noticing it. So these we'll have to explain. And we already have explained, these are the general concepts that we have to contemplate all the time so that your introspection is on the right basis. Last time we explained the threefold nature of existence: impermanence, suffering, and non-self. And I think we explained that in detail. We call it the threefold nature of existence. But then, some people may think impermanence, suffering, and non-self. Isn't that sad? Isn't that pessimistic? That's the facts of life. Impermanence, suffering. Impermanence brings with its concomitants sufferings. A lot of things related to impermanence give rise to suffering. We call those concomitants with impermanence. Like, for example, impermanent. Our life is impermanent. A relationship is impermanent. A marriage is impermanent. Sometimes the business is impermanent. Prosperity is impermanent. Everything is impermanent. So that's the reason why we say impermanence brings with this concomitance, whatever related to it. sufferings. So that's what we have, suffering, dukkha. And because of impermanence, because of suffering, that brings us unhappiness. We're not happy. We're not happy because of impermanence and suffering. It's just like what will happen now. There were one of us in here meditating this morning, and all of a sudden it's impermanent. All of a sudden she just collapsed, a seizure, whatever you call it, and then everything changed, and then she has to go to the hospital. And that happened to everybody. Is it possible that everybody lower your legs on the floor so that we lower your legs on the floor is easy to that, you know, doing that way? Yeah. So we explain what is non-self. We explain non-self is very difficult to understand, but I explain it in terms of subjective and objective experiences, in terms of personalization or people. Not just personalize, we egotize. But then, the Buddhist teaching, when we say, explain the world, is not just pessimistic. If everything is pessimistic, that means there's no changes, which is just contrary to the concept of impermanence. If everything is impermanent, everything is suffering, everything is no self, there's no chance, no hope. Everything is going in an adverse condition. But it is not like that. It is because of impermanence, because of suffering, because of non-self, we have a chance. And we call it the fourfold nature of existence. Yes, we have impermanence. Yes, we have no self. Yes, we have suffering, but the Buddha pointed out to us that we can arrive at a transcendent state in which there is neither suffering, desire, neither, no desire, no suffering, no delusion of self. The subject is liberated from the effects of karma and the cycle of death, of death and rebirth. At that time, there's no emotions. Only a peaceful, blissful mind. We are at the stage of equanimity. We are at the stage of, if you want to call it eternity, eternal bliss, eternal happiness, where there's no more bondage of life and death, no more reincarnation. So there's always hope. If hope has no change, that means there's always no hope. But hopelessness can be turned into hopefulness. So the Buddha said, yes, but that is nirvana, parinirvana. There's hope in everything. You think it's pessimistic? It's very optimistic. It's because of impermanence, because of non-self, because of suffering, that we want to get out from there. We want to get out from these three bad characteristics, or miserable characteristics of samsara. So the fourfold nature of existence. Now then these are the concepts that should always be out in our mind when we are introspecting. We know that everything is impermanent, suffering, dukkha, and then we're working towards nirvana. We're working towards parinirvana. So these are the general concepts that you always have to cultivate. You always have to internalize it. You always have to think about it. This is what the Buddha said. Train your mind to conceptualize these factual characteristics of the nature of existence. Don't forget about these. And then there's another very important general concept, paticca-samuppada. Paticca-samuppada is one of the most important concepts in the Buddhist teaching. If you don't understand this concept, you don't understand life. Remember, paticca-samuppada is a concept of the Theravada school. They strongly emphasize on understanding it. If you don't understand paticca-samuppada, then you don't know life. When you don't know life, how can you internalize? How can you introspect? So you have to understand what life is all about. So this is called Paticca Samuppada. Try to remember the Paticca Samuppada is a Pali word. Pali and Sanskrit are more or less quite similar, but try to remember Paticca Samuppada. They have songs sung about it. Now, if we translate it into, many translators translated Paticca Samuppada into dependent origination of life. But many modern translators and many enlightened monks, they said that the translation may not be accurate. And for example, Bartain, Punaji, they translated as antecedental concurrence. And I personally put in dependent because all these dependent on the necessary conditions. Things happen only with the fulfillment of all the necessary conditions. So let's start with this Paticca Samuppada. And maybe we can sing about it later. We have a song, a very beautiful song sung. The translation, what does antecedental mean? That means one circumstance happened before another circumstance, logically. One happened after another. Dependent on the necessary conditions. If there's no necessary conditions, it won't come out, it won't happen. Concurrence, that means somehow it happens simultaneously. It occurs simultaneously. Now let's start with this 12. Some people call it the 12 chains of dependent origination of our life. What is avidya? Let's start with avidya. I got it in red. Let's do it very slowly so that you understand exactly what it means. Avidya. Avidya is a Pali word. And most people translate it as ignorant. But ignorant is not a good translation. It's actually, as Bhattain Panachi pointed out, it's unconscious, mental unconsciousness. You're not conscious. Now, let us do it by example. A baby is conceived in the mother's womb, right? Let's start with a baby. We started from being a baby, right? A baby is conceived in the mother's womb. And then when the baby is inside the mother, the baby is dependent on the mother, right? Dependent on many, many necessary conditions. The mother must be healthy, the mother must be alive, the mother must be eating, and all the food will also go to the baby. The breathing of the mother becomes the breathing of the baby. We started with that, no exception. Everybody started with being a baby inside. And we connected to a tube, and then we have all the nutritions, the baby have all the nutritions. And even emotionally, the baby is related, dependent on the mother's emotions. That's the reason why we always advise the conceived mother to be happy, to be kind, to be compassionate, to be helpful, so that the baby started to learn right at the embryo, not outside. Learning inside is very important. The 10 months of learning is inside. Avidya. What is avidya? We can call it, translate it as mental unconsciousness. The baby cannot think. So, okay, let's take another step. The second step is, all right, the baby makes sure. The baby comes out. The baby comes out now. When the baby comes out, the baby does not know what's going on. The baby is unconscious. It just happened to the baby. Do you know what is going on? When you're being born, you don't know what's going on. It just happened to you. It just happened to you. That is occurrence, concurrence. That means happening to you without your control. Can the baby say, I don't want to be born? Can the baby say that? Can the baby say, okay, I don't want to be in this hospital? Can you are mentally, you don't have any thinking at all. You don't even have learning. You don't know what's surrounding you. You don't know any names. You don't know even the mother's name. You don't know what's a mother, what is a father. You know nothing. And some people translate as ignorance, because you know nothing, and people translate as ignorant, which is not bad. I mean, still, we're ignorant, right? You think the baby is not ignorant? You mean the baby, when the baby is born, the baby is talented? He can sing a song, by the way? It becomes weird. If the baby come out and sing a song, it becomes weird. So the baby is mentally unconscious. The baby is ignorant. And avidya, what is avidya? The Pali word avidya means mentally unconscious. No thinking, nothing. It's nothing. And when a baby is at that stage being born, he comes out. He was so comfortable in the mother's body. When he comes out, air conditioning, he feels chilly, he feels cold. He doesn't feel comfortable. The baby does not feel comfortable. And then also, the baby has no breathing, and the baby does not know how to breathe. If you don't know how to breathe, can you call yourself clever? You're ignorant, right? You don't know how to breathe. So the first thing the baby has to do is to learn how to breathe. If the baby does not breathe, the doctor would try to make the baby breathe. You know what the doctor would do? Spank the baby, making sure the baby cried, the first cry, the lung inflated. All of a sudden, the baby breathe and cry, right? So when the baby comes out, he did three things. He did three things. The bodily action, the mouth speech, and the first mental thinking. What is the body? What's the first physical bodily action? Bodily action the baby did. The body. He's struggling. He's trying to breathe, right? He's trying to breathe. The first breath of the baby is what we call zankara. He has to breathe. He has to struggle to exist. But zankara is in three parts though. The bodily part, which is the physical part, the breathing part, and then what? The verbal part. She's crying. The baby is crying. Your first mental expression is your crying, your sound that comes out. Bodily breathing, verbal, mouth, crying. What is the mentality? I don't like it's cold. I don't like it. I don't like it's cold. I come out, how come these people touch me? I feel the touch not soft, because when I'm in my mom's womb, I'm so comfortable, I'm so warm, everything is so soft. Now you guys, your hands are so rough. And the doctor has gloves even, and you touch my body, I don't like it. I don't like it. So that's what? That's emotional. That's the mental. So the mental part, the physical part, and the verbal part, all of a sudden starts to work. Start to happen. The baby doesn't do it. You think the baby deliberately do the crying, deliberately do the breathing, deliberately do the mental thinking? No. It just happened without control. Everything happened to you without you controlling it. You're not controlling yourself. You're not under your own, you're not the master of yourself. From hospital to grave, you're not the master of yourself. You don't have any existence. You only struggle to exist. You think you have an existence? No. We only struggle to exist. You may not know about it, but after you have thoroughly understand Paticca Samuppada, you know you don't exist. Avidya would lead to sankhara. Sankhara is grieving, crying, emotional disliking. There's sankhara. And then the baby started to have what? Started to have a little bit of sensation and feeling. The baby is alive, right? And what is the next one? Vijnana. Vijnana is perception. It's perception. What is perception? The baby have eyes. The baby have ears. The baby have nose. The baby have touch, have the whole body. The baby have the organs inside working, interacting with each other. And the baby have the mind, have the brain to think about something. So the baby have senses, right? When the baby have senses, the baby started to use the senses. The baby would hear, would see, would taste, would touch, would all do all these things. That is vijnana, perception. The baby would then what? The baby would be lying in a cradle, right? Lying in there, waiting for the mom. But the mom would show the face, and when the baby see the mom, the first sight of the mom, he does not know this woman. Does he know this woman? He does not know this woman. Mom, I don't know mom. I mean, what is this? And then the mom would say, "Hey," giggling, you know, would giggle and say, the mom would be singing a lullaby. We'd be touching softly, kissing the child, showing the compassion to the child. So the child start to know that I see my mom's face and everything. Every time when I see, I don't know what's that word, mom, I see this face. When I see this face, I feel somebody giggling me. I feel that he's very gentle, very, very soft-spoken. And the baby says, I like it. I like it. So every time when he sees mom's face, he built up some liking for it. He built up some craving for it. Internally, I'm craving to see my mom's face. And also, every time when I see my mom's face, what is the subsequent action that will follow? I get milk. I get food. So every time when I see this face, I have food coming. I have someone singing to me. Something is soft. Something is so tender loving. Something, I don't know what this woman is though. And then the mom would say, I'm mom. Call me mom. Hi, Jeanette. Hi, Mary. And then mom. So the word mom comes up. Wait till mom finish this. I'll come back to you. I'll give you milk. Mom. That always sounds all the time. So the baby starts to have feelings about it. From ignorance to sankhara, which is building up some actions and activities, and then go on with the perception. Unfortunately, time is up. I can't go on. But let me remind you, you have to understand Paticca-samuppada to know the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha gave us all the details about how a baby was born. And until the baby dies. And we have to follow it step by step so that we can analyze life, so that we can analyze the delusive nature of existence.